Roundtable on Crick Info Talk.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Crick Info Roundtable. Apart from tennis, cricket is perhaps the only other major professional sport where the playing surface makes a huge difference. We have the fast and bouncy pitches in Australia and the seeming ones in England and New Zealand, with South Africa perhaps falling somewhere in between. Well, the subcontinent is pretty unique, and the pitches generally slow and low and more conducive to spin. There are few batsmen in the world who have been able to adjust to all conditions, which is why perhaps people like Sachin Tendulkar and Brian Lara are still in a different league, compared to, say, someone like Ricky Ponting, who's yet to really make an impact in test matches in India. We've repeatedly seen batsmen from the subcontinent struggling to adapt to the pace and bounce in Australia, but the reverse is also true. Today, we are going to discuss the challenge of playing on subcontinental pitches, and I have with me two players who've made the adjustment different enough. Two players with South African connections, but playing for different countries, Tony Greig and Darryl Cunningham. Welcome, gentlemen, to the Cricket for Roundtable. Tony, let me start with you. You came to the subcontinent in 72-73. It was your second series, and you averaged 62 against India and 52 against Pakistan. You came up against the very best, you know, the Bedi, Chandrasekhar and the Prasannas. How different was the challenge of playing in India then, and how did you adjust to those conditions having played your cricket in South Africa and England?
Well, first of all, let me thank you very much indeed for highlighting those figures, mate. I've been waiting for some of one of my colleagues in commentary to highlight something like this. here we go. Both Darryl and I were brought up in a country where we didn't really play against really good spinners. So when it came to the challenge of touring the subcontinent, I know for one that I was seriously worried about it, because being a tall guy, I was inclined to be a bit of a lunger. So I really sought out as much advice as I could from good test players in England, guys like Kenny Barrington, who was one of our selectors and indeed our manager. My philosophy when I came here, knowing what I was up against, and you know, let's face it, Bedi, Chandrasekhar, Prasanna, and don't let's forget Venkat Raghavan either. You know, we had four guys, one of whom was likely to get the ball, you know, after about three or four overs. In those days, they used to roll the ball along the ground to get it old so they could grip it and start spinning. So we were confronted with this incredible problem of how do we handle these guys. I adopted an approach which was a combination of aggression and defense, because I am of the view that if you don't have a reasonably sound defense, it's always going to be difficult to survive. At the same time, you've got to, in my view, spread the field. You can't allow spinners to dictate. I mean, you watch Moodley now, you watch Shane Warne. They love to see batsmen just pushing and prodding, because it's only going to be a question of time before they get them out, and of course they keep the field as close. What I did was I used to look around the field, and I was quite happy to take the odd risk. And for me, the risk wasn't in sweeping, because I was too tall for that. But I used to have to target a deep mid-on area and hit the spinner over the top a little bit soon on in my innings, so that I could spread the field, and then my defense would come into play. So basically, that's the way I went about it.
So it seems like it was calculated risk for Tony Greig on that trip. Darryl Cullinan, your second series was in Sri Lanka, and you didn't do too badly either, scoring 50 in the second test that South Africa won and 100 in the last test in Colombo. How did you adapt?
Well, we came in completely from the cold, so for us it was a completely new experience, so we literally had to learn on the job. I think Tony's point eventually came to us as well, where you take a guy like Muthrin, we sat down and we said, look, he's going to bowl 30 to 40 overs in innings. Give him 3 wickets, that's a guarantee. So it had to come at a price. So we started to make sure that we got outside the line, which negated the LBW to a large degree, and then looked to get some of the fielders around the bat away by employing the slog sweep and getting it over that in the ring, so you had to take one or two away there. Kumle was a bit different in that it was going to be more risky applying that sort of strategy. But for us, it took a lot of patience. We understood that it took time to get in. You had to be defensively good, and we tended to defend right behind the pad, so we needed to show more of the bat and defend with soft hands, and also playing the ball off the pitch. I think we weren't good watchers off the pitch, and then be able to adjust late. That was going to be very important for us. So practice then became a thing of finding a bare patch, a really bumpy patch on the outfield, not even the nets, and then have someone throwing the ball into you, and then learning to play it off the bounce, and then be able to pull the bat away at the last sort of moment. So those were the challenges. I think the big challenge, and it applied to to all the bowlers in the subcontinent was we tend generally to defend from the crease and then leave our crease and either have a swing or try to get something back. We had to find ways to score from the crease. I think that was the big adjustment for us, where we were able to push balls wide of mid-on or middle for one, a drop and run, shaping the ball through the onside and the leg side, which required more of a bottom hand skill. I think we generally tend to be top-handed players on bouncy wickets because you've got to cock the left wrist to get the bat above the bounce. See, players tend to be more bottom-handed sort of players, manipulating the ball. And we changed our bats. You know, we found our bat had a long toe with the meat being high up the bat because of our bouncy wickets. We're down, yeah, and that was something we picked up from Aravinda de Silva in Sri Lanka. We're picking up a bat of his, and Tony will know when I say it looked like a knopkiri, which is a long-bladed bat with all the meat was in the toe of the bat. It was almost like where he flicked the ball with no bounce. So that was a major, major adjustment for us.
That's wonderful. We've got a pretty extensive detailing of how foreign players adjust on subcontinent pitches. Just a question to both Tony and Daryl. Tony, in your team at the time, were batsmen able to pick what was coming out of the hands? Because that, I believe, has been one of the biggest problems for most overseas batsmen when they come to the subcontinent.
Look, that definitely was a problem for us. I think South Africans, for a start, have a problem because we don't see many wrist spinners, and they're the ones that have most up their sleeve. In our time, there wasn't a doosra. So that aspect has changed quite dramatically. The guys that were around that were mystery spinners at the time were Johnny Gleeson, and we certainly had a lot of problems with him because he was a bit different. Bowled spin off his middle finger. I think it's fair to say that we did have a problem with those sorts of bowlers, the mystery spinners. The main reason for it was that we weren't exposed to it much, and I think Daryl's point is well made. You know, you've got to train yourself in the nets as a kid to be looking very closely at the hand. I mean, any youngster that's listening to this should, when he goes to the nets, always make sure that he concentrates on that ball in the hand. And also, look, you should know what a flipper is. You should know what a doosra is so that you actually know what you're looking for. Because rest assured, players can get a little lazy in that regard. But those are just some of the problems that we faced.
It's one of the first things you tell a kid, watch the ball. But it's probably the last thing on most professional players' minds. I mean, I know personally it was something that I did not pay enough attention to and found out the hard way, and that cost me dearly. If I started to think of my first-class career starting out, we had one spinner who really played first-class cricket. Dennis Hobson was the only one, but he had recently retired, and he was a genuine leg spinner. We had a guy, Alan Curry, who was really a left-arm roller. Other than that, we had more sort of finger spinners. It was something that we never quite understood. I think as it got on, you know, definitely that's what distinguished the better players from the other ones, that ability to watch it completely out of the hand and then play accordingly.
Tony and Daryl, we've talked about technique and, you know, how you adapted yourself to conditions here in the subcontinent. How much was it in the mind as well?
Well, I mean, a lot of cricket is in the mind, and if you go out there and you're tense, obviously everyone's going to recognize that, and you're going to be very vulnerable early on, especially, I mean, that initial period. One of the points that I actually forgot to mention was that, you know, there are fallback positions as well. When you don't, you get desperate, because if you're not sure whether it's a flipper or a leggy or a wrong'un, you start looking for it in the air, which then makes, your shot selection then becomes later. So a lot of people actually went down that course. Spin has changed dramatically, and I really do get upset when people start having a go at Murali for his action, and this whole question of allowing spinners to do just a little bit more seems to me to be good for cricket, and I just hate the idea of people trying to stand in the way of what I call the flick of this new 15 degree law, which I think is very good, allows a little bit of extra spin. And I think, you know, just talking about the guys that bowled in the subcontinent, the Beddies, the Prasannas in particular, they were very loose-limbed and very, a bit like Murali with their wrists as well, double-jointed. It's just such a wonderful art that we should really be encouraging it as much as we can. And I'm afraid to say that apart from Murali, certainly in India, things have changed a little bit in that regard. You know, sure, it's nice to have a balanced attack, but an attack that included Beddie, Prasanna and Chandra again. I mean, what fun that would be.
Yeah, it was something that I was going to raise a little later in our discussion, is Indian spinners, you know, not being right up there as in the past. Of course, you've got Anil Kumble there, but spinners have to spin the ball. And, you know, I've always mentioned this, that in the last 10 years, the only guy who has really spun the ball big time on good pitches, not on bad turning pitches, has been Sachin Tendulkar. So it's a sad development here in India that you don't have spinners who spin the ball big. Just coming back to the adjustment issue, Darren, I'm very keen about, you know, knowing the mindset. Have you been with players who have accepted in their minds, having come to the subcontinent, that this is something I will not be able to handle?
Well, today it's so much more difficult to play yourself in because you don't have too many warm-up games. So you have to come prepared, and I think the great challenge for players is to find ways where they can just almost effortlessly fit into various conditions in various countries, both home and away, with ease and with all the required skills. Mentally, yes, one would definitely prepare yourself differently coming to the subcontinent. Look, if you're not ready for it in that regard, you will get exposed and you probably won't find yourself playing much. But the great challenge we always felt was batters' field is around the bat. And I remember one tour, I think it was Kieran Moore, we met, I'd gone down to club practice just to watch guys and get extra batting. They said, look, when we come to your country, we have the ball flying past our nose and you guys stand at the back and you sort of urge the quick bowlers on and that sort of scary stuff. We don't have that. So we've got fielders around the bat, and every opportunity the ball goes past the bat, there's a lot of noise and a lot of sound. If you've got allowed yourself to be intimidated by the ball, potentially a catch going to the players around you, you probably were going to be out. And I think that's what's really got the better of all batsmen coming to the subcontinent.
One of the things that I have seen as an Indian player standing at Silly Point forward short leg against South Africa, Australian batsman or English batsman, Tony, is, you know, one of the things that most foreign batsmen do is when they come to the subcontinent, see a turning pitch, generally they want to get onto their front foot, get to the pitch with the ball. Very often on slow, big turning pitches, I've seen some master batsmen at the domestic level, you know, who scored heavily on turning pitches because they love to just sit back. And once the ball spun, they would always get room, you know, to play the square cut or the pull shot. Do you see that as one of the weaknesses, that the batsmen do not get onto the back foot as much as they should?
Oh, look, there's no doubt about that. I mean, anyone who recently watched the way Michael Clarke and Michael Hussey played Mathai Muralidharan will know that the best way to play them is to be bold enough to get down the pitch on the one hand. On the other hand, you know, to be able to go right back and play right from right next to the stumps. That way you make it very hard for the bowler. That's the classical way to play spinners. Gary Sobers used to say, why would you run down the pitch? It just gives you another way to get out, stumped. On the other hand, you'd listen to guys like Ian Chappell and others saying, listen, you can't play spinners without going down the pitch. And if you haven't done it, it's a very courageous thing to do, especially against good spinners who drop the ball and who turn it. I mean, that's the other thing that's a little different. The fact, when we came to India and down to Sri Lanka, not so much in Pakistan, we used to go to the ground the day before and see a pitch that was absolutely white, devoid of grass, and as dry as a bone. And yet, there'd be four people with wire brushes scratching away at the pitch. There's no doubt that the pitches were made more so to suit the spin bowlers. It wasn't a question of waiting around to see how much it turned at the end of the match. It turned from the word go. And, of course, if you then had someone like Eki Sarkar sitting just behind you and Venkat at leg gully, then, you know, you had problems. The one thing that that the Indians discovered very late was Silly Point. I don't know whether they were a bit scared of putting people into that position. But Bishan Bedi and Prasanna and Chandra used to have one on one side or the other. And that always gave you the opportunity, technically, to err on that side. If you were going to kick it up in the air on one side of the little inside edge, you made sure that you erred on the offside of the ball, so it went to the leg side if there wasn't a fielder there. Those are the sort of little strategies that I put into place. The other thing, Sanjay, that I had was, there was a guy called Harry Birrell, who Tayfield, a famous spinner in South Africa, said was the best player of spinners that he'd ever bowled to. And he said to me, the key to playing spin is to play into the spin, in other words, against it. You must present the face of the bat to the area from where the ball's coming. Now, the best example I can give is when Sachin plays an outswinger down the ground, he doesn't play the shot to mid-off. He actually hits the ball back to mid-on, sometimes even wide of mid-on. In other words, he's squaring the blade of the bat with an outswinger that's heading towards slip. And that's the way you've got to play, as far as I'm concerned. I think more players would be better off presenting the bat square onto the ball.
Well, different batsmen have different theories. I know for a fact that Javed Miazhar has a very simple theory against spin. He says, never straight driver spinner. So he believed in playing with the spin on either side. Darren, what differences did you find in pitches of India, Sri Lanka and Pakistan? Was there any difference at all?
Well, I want to clarify one thing, and perhaps it was just the times that we were in India and may have just been the pitches that we played on. When we generally played on a Turner back home, which was once a season, which was more due to the pitch deterioration than anything else, he had one which bounced, he had one which didn't bounce, he had one which went straight on, that type of thing. We won a test match against India with Nicky Boyer in Bangalore. He got 5 wickets, and that was that scenario. And no matter who you are, it's going to be tough playing in those sort of circumstances. What we found, and I think it's a little bit in our defense, a lot of the times we played in India, Pakistan in particular, you saw a consistent turn. It turned, but it was a consistent turn. So you could line it up. You could go with it. You could go against it. And if it turned more and more and more, we didn't see what we knew, which was extreme bounce, which you often find in Australia with bouncing outside of leg stump and that sort of thing. It exposes even the best. So then you could get on the back foot. You could get on the back foot to length balls and go with it. And you could line it up a lot better. And everyone would say, oh, what, the Indians are, you know, fantastic players. It's been granted they are, because they see it all the time. I see it now presently. So in our defense, I don't think, if they had to deal with what we were used to and how we judged one's ability to play spin, then I think they would probably also battle. So we eventually learned to adjust, and when the wicket was true, then you can come running down the wicket, get into the pitch of the ball just in late, playing it late with the spin, hitting it over extra cover, and that sort of thing. But when it's not doing that, I don't care who you are, you are going to battle. I think generally, if one compared, it was a lot had to do with the soil. We found that the red soil, which is perhaps more on the western side of the country, probably gave you more of that, more of like a consistent type of turn. Calcutta, it was a whiter soil. There was a bit of turn, but there wasn't a great bounce. So you never felt uncomfortable with. I think it all comes down to the soil. Karachi is more the red soil. But up north, we found up Lahore Way, Faisalabad, that sort of thing, we found wickets which were a little bit slower. But I can't recall dramatic turners. In the test matches, and those were probably 6 to 8 test matches we played, I think, in total, the same amount against India. I can't recall a particular situation. It was more the lack of the pace and bounce, which was our undoing, I thought.
Right, Tony, you've watched cricket, you've played cricket in the subcontinent for the last 30, 35 years. Do you see at all that there's a trend that foreign batsmen now are just able to adjust to subcontinent conditions better than the past, or you see no improvement there?
Oh, look, I think there is a bit of an improvement, I suppose it's what are the reasons for it, and I think there probably are quite a few. I reckon that foreign batsmen, given the pitches that we played on, in other words, raging turners across the country, and given Abedi, Prasanna, and Chandra, and Venkat, I think they'd struggle. Because, you know, that's the way it is. They were great bowlers and they were bowling on pitches which suited them. And add one other thing, they had local umpires. You know, don't let's underestimate them. And that applied everywhere. I'm not having a go at the Indian umpires. But when you've got a lot of bat pads and things, you know.
Yeah, they just happen to be a little patriotic in these matters.
That's right. You know, that was a factor in those days as well. So Pakistan, you know, when we went there, it was a little bit different in so much as they had a few more fast bowlers. You know, Lahore tended to be a bit more suited to the fast men. They also had a lot more leg spinners. You know, Sri Lanka is a place where, you know, we found it the toughest place of all to play cricket because of the humidity and the heat. As far as overseas players are concerned that have come to these parts and played against really good bowlers, there's one man that stands out, and that is Brian Lara. Now, Brian Lara played against Murali Dhiran, and Murali Dhiran will tell you that he's the best player of spin that he's ever come across in his life. I think he got something like 600 runs in 3 test matches. You know, there was an incredible contest which was won by a batsman in perfect conditions for a great spinner from the subcontinent.
Darrell, your vote for who you would consider was one of the better overseas batsmen that you saw adapting to subcontinent conditions?
Well, I'm going to be a bit biased. I think Jacques Callis has proved to be a fantastic player all around the world. And his great strength was, and I think Tony alluded to it earlier, and you probably see more now, there's not the fear so much anymore to hit into the spin. He's a very good sweeper of the ball, but he's been a strong tall man. That length ball he has played back to, and I think that's where he's got runs against Australia, has been so good. When playing against Warne, his ability to work it against the spin
finding that gap wide of mid-on, or the getting the ball between mid-off and cover. And the other one probably is Matthew Hayden. He spent some time in India getting his game ready, and the sweep shot. You know, playing the sweep shot was a very foreign shot for us. We battled the South Africans to come to terms with that, because we were brought up that the sweep shot is a high-risk shot, and good players don't play sweep shots. But it's the first shot all our players get onto now. And
why is that? Why is that sweep shot becomes sort of the shot that they eventually fall upon?
Well, we found that leaving your crease was too much of a risk, and scoring from the crease, particularly when you got no pace off the pitch, you then eventually became desperation. But Bob Wilmer was very instrumental in changing our mindsets in that regard, and he was a great believer, and I think that's what eventually got us going. And the other thing too is, it gets you off strike, and the pressure's then back on the bowler, and again it comes back to we'd never really experienced it at home. I mean, our school's cricket in these pace bowling, there's a tendency now, because kids want to follow the Marathons and the Warns of this world, we see kids wanting to bowl spinner. I just think it's the way countries play their different cricket, and I think that's the beauty of it. Why would India want to have changed their wickets, and South Africa talk about we need spinners wickets and that? I think the great challenge and the beauty of cricket is playing in different conditions, dealing with different circumstances and different bowlers. Otherwise we're going to have same wickets, same players all around the world, and a big beauty to the game will be sadly lacking.
Yeah, already that's starting to happen as more and more countries want good batting pitches. We're coming to the end of our discussion. Just one question that I've had in mind, maybe Tony is the right guy to answer it. Do you see any difference in the way the spinners are bowling today than the way they bowled in the 70s?
Yes, well, there's one huge difference, and I think spinners are still learning and trying to work out how to handle it, and that's the dusra, the one that goes the other way, or the ordinary spinner. I mean, that's going to develop more and more. I still don't understand why more Englishmen and Australians and South Africans aren't bowling the dusra. It's obviously they can't do it. They must be trying. So that's one big difference. The other big difference is that there seems to be a move to try, and it's probably got to do with us as commentators, saying, look, this has got these Sri Lankans these days have got a lovely balanced attack. And what does a balanced attack mean? A balanced attack means, two really good fast bowlers, a good all-rounder and two spinners. Now, that wasn't the way it used to be. Certainly in India, if there was a fast bowler around, it was, they were like hen's teeth. But you knew one thing above all else, the pitches would turn, and you better be able to play spin, otherwise you were going to have a miserable time. And for me, that's the big change. I agree with Darryl. I don't like to see people change their ways for the sake of being competent in every department of the game. I'd love to see India stick with the thing that they've always been so good at, and that is mystifying the world of batsmen with great spin bowlers. At the same time, of course, developing they're quick men as well. I mean, there's room for two. So we're at the crossroads, I think, in terms of trying to define exactly where we're heading.
I think one-day cricket has a big impact, particularly with young cricketers, because they can't sort of bowl the same as they would if they had 3 or 4 day cricket in mind. How many real good flighters of the ball, they'll be playing one day cricket, and then suddenly that happens. That's what happened to Paul Adam. He started playing one day cricket, learned to bowl flatty, that type of thing. Just quickly, lastly, we had one great experience in our cricketing lives. In Chandigarh, a 48-year-old Bishan Bedi came down to the nets, and he got us all out. Simply did us through flight. And that old saying, it looked like the ball was on a string, I believed it after that day.
And that is what, loop is all about. And a lot of people they say to Irappalli Prasanna, that he used to flight the ball too much, and he would have been hit outside the ground by the Matthew Haydens and the powerhouses that we have. And he said, well, I used to flight the ball, but the flight was with deception. Unfortunately, the grounds are getting smaller and the pitches are just getting better for the spinners to deceive too many batsmen in flight. So I think that is a major change that we see with spinners. There isn't that loop as we used to see in the past. Well, thank you, gentlemen, for your contribution to the Cricket Info Roundtable. I just want to end the discussion by voting two batsman that I thought played superbly in subcontinent conditions, batsman that you haven't mentioned. One is Andy Flower from Zimbabwe. I thought he batted brilliantly on turning pitches in India. And I've seen Graham Thorpe look outstanding in an England team when they played in the subcontinent. So two batsmen that I'd like to vote for. And thank you, gentlemen, once again for joining us on the Cricket Info Roundtable.
This is Cricket Info Talk.